is all about Christmas. We've got Christmas toys all over the table. We're going to talk about stocking stuffers, Christmas gifts, what's good, what's bad, who's naughty, who's nice. And speaking of naughty and nice, on the nice side of the table, we have Robert here in the chair across from me. On the naughty side of the table, we have Captain Kale. How did you get put in the naughty side?
I was sitting here wondering the same thing myself.
It's part of your personality. We're just going to ride with it. I don't know why that worked out that way. But it's Santa's idea. It's not mine. I can't be responsible for what Santa does.
Maybe that's need to smile more.
Yes, that's it. Smile more by cracky. No, don't do that. I don't need the images. All right. Top five this week. What's going on out in the area? Robert, what's your top pick fish of the week?
Trout, pretty much. I mean, this week's been weird because of the bad weather we had. You know, a lot of wind, a lot of cold. So it's a little tricky.
Well, I got to tell you, in news of the weird, my life continues to get strange. I'm driving home, left the bait shop, I'm on my way to the house, a bat hit my windshield. B-A-T, bat, flying E-E-E, vampire type guy.
Last night?
It was just really weird. I couldn't figure out what the heck it was. All of a sudden, I'm driving down the road, thump! I'm like, are you kidding me? I thought it was a bird. I went back, looked on the side of the road. There's a bat.
Wow.
Have you ever been hit? Had a bat hit a car?
No, not that I've ever seen.
No, I think that's a first.
RJ.
Call Guinness up, quick.
I mean, come on. You're driving along, it's dark out, and a bat flies into your vehicle. I'm beginning to think, I don't know what to think, but I know life is getting strange. Speaking of strange, snook are biting. Snook are a temperate zone fish, right? They go to sleep at what, 60?
Yeah.
And by 50, dormant, right?
Yeah, 50s, they can actually start dying.
The weather gets cold, and for the first time ever, snook are hitting everything, everywhere. They're going off the chain.
Yeah.
And it's the number two pick of the week. I mean, over, and what was really weird, we got the trout in, and the cold weather in, rather.
Right.
Cold weather hits. It was unbelievable. It's freezing cold out. The trout quit biting for a while. They're back now biting good with the sunshine. But the trout went in decline in the bite, and snook soared up. Goes against every rule of everything we know.
Yeah, it's a little strange.
Now, snook are going off almost anywhere. What you got, Robert? Where's the best place, snook?
Honestly, Turtle and Bull Bay are really stacked up, and then there's a lot of fish cruising up the west wall. They're starting to really push their way up, working their way towards the rivers, getting ready to do their wintertime thing. This temperature drop really pushed them to that edge that they needed to be.
Yeah, the canals are loaded up with snook. We're seeing them all around the islands. It's absolutely been amazing. Pompano out along the beaches, number three pick of the week.
Yep.
Pompano along the beaches.
The beaches and the passes.
All right. In front of Bull Bay, Turtle Bay, I've been hearing some stuff.
I haven't heard much this week because of the mullet fishermen that are out there. There's a lot of guys beating the shorelines and running up and down the areas, so it's been chasing those pompano out, and I think that's why I'm getting more reports of guys catching pompano in the passes and out along the beaches.
All right. Here's a question. RJ, you, Captain Kale, Robert, has anyone ever gone to a restaurant or anywhere and ordered mullet caviar? Anybody know?
I haven't ordered mullet anything.
Now, I mean, okay, the whole idea behind this mullet run is they get the eggs from the female, and now the male mullet's not worth anything because that's male stuff, and I'm sorry nobody eats that anymore, not since Viagra came out. But I can't remember a single time or place or ever hearing a mullet caviar. RJ, you heard anything?
No, and I think it goes all to China, doesn't it? They're shipping all this stuff to Asia.
You know, I got to tell you, the Chinese people are wonderful. I mean, absolutely amazing. They love the American culture. Chinese people are very cool. They have the worst taste buds on the planet. I don't care who you are. Mullet caviar can't be that great.
No, and if you ever had uni, that's another one. That sea urchin roe, they eat that also. It's probably the most foul thing you can put in your mouth.
Oh, my God. All right.
You could eat red-tied fish, and you'd get better off on it.
No. I'm not into it. Okay. So, anyway, a lot of mullet fishermen out there, a lot of netting going on, a lot of dead mullet in the water because the males aren't worth money when you squeeze them. They're like 5 cents a pound where the females can be. What's it up to? Any idea, Robert?
Still cheap. It's only like 75 cents or something like that right now.
So why are all these guys going after it? For 75 cents a pound, you can't make that much money on it.
I don't know.
When it's $2 a pound, $3 a pound, I get it. But
well, how much can you possibly get out of one fish?
I don't know. Anyway, moving on. Okay, number five on the list, Jax. Robert's boy is your best bet on Jax.
They've been getting a lot of little guys out there by Boca Grande around the phosphate dock and Captiva Pass, inconsistent numbers. And then, obviously, the bigger fish have been up in the PGI canals. They've been catching some really, really big fish in PGI. Like
PGI canals?
5 to 12 pounds.
Alligator Creek, up through those canals, are doing well on Jax.
All right, so jack fishing is a lot of fun, and absolutely the best smoked fish I've ever eaten. Love Jack Crevel on a smoker. It is the best. Nothing even compares to it. So, fishing report. We're done with that. All right. Christmas time is here. Time for joys and time for stocking stuffers and Christmas gifts. I'm just excited. It's Christmas.
Right?
Yeah.
No, it's good stuff.
Oh, I can tell. These guys are just wowed over Christmas.
I can sense the excitement.
You sense the excitement? Yeah, well.
Robert is just exuding it.
Yes, Robert's exuding Christmas spirit. Starting off.
Make you feel better if I dye this like red or green?
Yes. I think if you dye your beard red on one side, green on the other, and... you know, channel marker colors.
Nice.
It's not Christmas, it's channel marker. You know, that could be a permanent thing for you.
Somebody might hit them.
Yeah.
All right. First thing, stocking stuffers. They should be cheap. And I'm going to go, my first pick, a bag of split shots. Split shots not only act as a sinker, they can act as a stopper on your line if you're doing a slip sinker rig. And I will say one of the captains, Captain Carl, came out with a great idea. I'm going to talk about my second thing right away here, too. It's a styrofoam float. You can get them in cigar or oval shape. The cigar shape's 39 cents. The oval shape, 79 cents. It's a bigger bobber. I think just more shipping. But they're unweighted. And when you put them on the line, you go to cast them. They're great bobbers, but they don't help you cast. Put a split shot immediately underneath that bobber, and usually about a number three or number two, something with some weight to it. Number one's the heaviest split shot, then two, three, four, five. Fives and sevens are what we normally carry with us. They're in that medium range, going down to double aught, which is the smallest one. Split shots, just an all-around good thing. You guys got any argument on split shots as a stocking stuffer at 99 cents?
No, it's a great thing because, I mean, it's very versatile and it's something that you'll use all the time and it doesn't take up any space at all in the tackle box.
So you can add them to a bobber, you can add them to your line, they help you cast, they'll keep you in place. I think split shot is a necessity for on there. Robert, what's your next pick on something to put in a stocking? Should be something expensive.
I would say, honestly, just all-around hooks. Just a couple packs of simple hooks, you know. There is no one hook out there that's made for snook or redfish. There's your broad spectrum hooks for matching it to your bait. So like a number one or a one-aught J-hook
is absolutely a good general perfect size. Now, the one thing about it, if you're buying hooks for somebody else for the Christmas stocking, no one knows what the smallest hook is or the biggest hook, but we do know what dead center on the hooks is. One, a number one hook, it just has a one there, and then 1, 2, 4, 6, 8 getting smaller as the numbers increase, or 1/0, 2/0, or 1/0, 2/0, 3/0, 4/0 getting bigger. So a number one or a 1/0 is right in the middle and probably the most versatile size and a safe bet for anybody's tackle box or Christmas stocking. So number one or number 1/0 right in the middle of the sizes, pretty much good for almost anything. Now, Cale, you're more specific on your hooks. What are you into when it comes to hooks?
I like a VMC SureSet circle hook. I love circle hooks. And I stick with that.
There's a whole circle thing going on here we're not going to get into, but why do you like circle hooks so much? I hate them.
I like them from a charter standpoint. I get a lot of people on the boat that may have never fished before, aren't used to fishing our fish. Sometimes they're just completely asleep at the wheel, and they set themselves.
Gotcha. Robert, you a circle hook or J-hook guy?
I'm a J-hook guy.
All right. I set the hook. How about you?
I set the hook. I absolutely set the hook. And the thing is, I mean, Kale's kind of right, but he's using a sure set circle hook, which is still an offset circle hook. So it's really not much different than a J-hook.
Okay.
So a little bit more forgiving if you forget to not jerk on that.
I actually went fishing with Kale the other day, and Kale and I are out fishing. I pick up the rod. I set the hook. Misses the fish. I said, Kale, circle hooks. Okay. No more setting the hook. And you got to admit, I never set the hook the rest of the day.
No, I was honestly surprised. And you didn't cry and whine about it either. That surprised me even more.
I really wanted to. I really wanted to complain and whine about it. JR or RJ, are you a circle hook or a J-hook guy?
I've rarely fished with the circle hook. And I feel like an amateur when I put a circle hook on. Like it's doing all the work for me. You know, part of being a master fisherman is knowing how to set the hook, right?
I'm on your side, man.
I like that.
That's it. That's our producer. And
I mean, you might as well fish with a mouse trap, right? So stick a mouse trap on the end of the line, stick a bit of bait on there, and you got him, you know?
See? There's a reason he produces this show. All right, Kale, that was your pick,
yes,
on the hooks. Okay, Kale, what? Go ahead.
Yeah. No, you're right.
All right, Kale, pick something out of the Christmas present stuff here.
I think any type of terminal tackle is a great stocking stuffer. Small packages, usually cheap prices. I've got jig heads. I like fishing with jig heads, either with shrimp or with plastics, both of which are doing great out there on the flats now. I've got the Mission Fishing jig heads and also the Rockport Rattler jig
now,
heads.
Now, Robert, you did pick the Mission Fishing. Why did you pick Mission Fishing as your jig head to bring?
For two reasons. Number one, I like the stinger on the back of it that actually holds the bait on. It's a little bit larger, so it gives a little bit more bite into any soft plastic. But the other thing is, I'm not one of those people to micro-engineer my soft plastics and have a jig head for this paddle tail and this jig head for this jerk bait and so on and this brand. It's a wide gap hook. It's a fairly wide gapped hook on that Mission Fishing, so I can match it to any soft plastic I want to put it into.
All right. Now, I chose the Rockport Rattler. Two reasons. Named after Rockport, Texas. Remember Category 5 hurricane? The people at Rockport got crushed out there. But they are back up in business. They lost everything in Hurricane Harvey when it made landfall. But they're back in business. Charles and Vicky, you can meet them March 24th at our tent sale at Fish and Frank's, March 24th. They will be there. They have a built-in rattle in them. And I really like that rattle aspect. That, to me, is the best thing that separates Rockport from the other ones.
Absolutely.
It kind of adds to the bite on that. Kale, are you a Rockport guy?
I do use them occasionally. I like them, even with shrimp, not even with the soft plastics. You set that shrimp on the bottom and jiggle that line while it's tight, and you'll make that thing rattle underwater.
Yeah, I do a little hop thing with it. I think Carl came up with one of the best things for this. He used them under a popping cork in place of a regular hook because the popping cork, sometimes they got rattles, they got beads, they make a lot of noise. But this rattle in the jig head actually brings attention to the bait, not just the popping cork. So by using a Rockport Rattler, you get them in a 1/16 ounce. You can put your shrimp on that below the popping bobber and actually bring some more attention to the bait, not just to the popping and splashing of the bobber.
Right. And I can see that. And the other great thing is, like, there's a lot of times where we use frozen shrimp, and frozen shrimp are amazing on a jig head. And with that rattle in there, that adds to it. So you got your scent, you got the visual of the shrimp bouncing along the bottom, then you've also got the rattle going all off at the same time. It can be pretty versatile.
And I love when the rattle goes off.
Yeah.
I like the rattle going off. Oh, I like good. The rattle. Okay. But that's just me. I'm a rattle type of guy. I'm so quiet and demure that I need something to accentuate everything.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's basically the way I look at it. Now, getting back into gadgetry, we've got a couple of fish grippers here. The fish grippers. All right, Robert, you've got a Rapala or Rapala, and what's that thing like? It's made to hold fish.
Yeah, it's a plastic, basically, wrench.
Yeah, it looks vice like grip. Looks like vice a plastic grip. Vice grip.
Plastic vice grip. You know, and you can grab a hold of the fish, and it just clamps down on his jaw. But the nice thing about this small one is that you can use it on quite a few different fish because it's got a big enough gap inside it to get around the jaw of most of your size, even something with some size. But being that it's plastic, it's going to float for a little bit if you happen to drop it over the side.
Okay, good point.
So you're a kayak fisherman or in a boat.
Or even a wade fisherman.
It's really
nice. And
they're
very lightweight.
They're very, very lightweight. And there's really nothing, I mean, there's some components on there that are probably going to rust and corrode, but it's still overall.
It'd be just a couple of metal pins. The rest of it's all non-corrosive plastic. Yeah. All right, Kiel, now you've got a different thing. We call that the bogus grip.
Yeah, this is a mechanical type gripper. We call it the bogus grip because your industry standard in mechanical fish grippers is the boga grip. The nice thing is these guys don't cost $130 like the boga grips do. These are $18.95. They're not as big as the boga grip, so your fish don't look small in the pictures.
I call that the picture grip. Because now it's the same good thing that Robert has, the one from Rapala or Rapala, and it's very small as well, and you can cover it up with your hand. There's nothing like having a picture of an 18-inch fish, and then you've got a 12-inch boga grip on there to make it look as tiny as possible.
Exactly, exactly.
And it's really hard to hold fish without one of these. Now, the one there, that little one has an extra advantage to it. What's the advantage of that gripper? It's got the two metal jaws that come together in the front, just like a boga grip. But
these have got a different angle on them, so you can just push this onto the lip of a fish. With a boga grip, you have to hold them open, get it into the fish's lip, and then close it. Where this one, all you have to do is bang it a little bit on that fish's lip, and it grabs on its own. The other nice thing I think this has over the boga grip is, when you watch a 10-pound jack crevalle that you caught in the canals swim away with it, it doesn't hurt as bad as when he does swim away with your $130 boga grip.
Nothing makes you cry like losing $100-some with a fish as it swims away.
There is a really cool thing that both these have, though, is a little lanyard that's supposed to go around your wrist so you don't let it go swimming away with the fish.
Now, that would imply a operator intuitive response to a procedural situation there.
Okay.
Oh, anytime you lose one of those, it's operator error. Trust me.
Okay.
Whether you have a float on it around your wrist, it's operator error.
Now, all right. Neither one of these have a scale on them, unlike the boga grip. And, you know, the boga grip is made out of 100% first grade stainless steel. It's made here in the United States. It's made in a little town in
Estaboga, Alabama.
Estaboga, yeah. Alabama.
That's where the name boga grip comes from, Estaboga.
Yep. And it's got a built-in scale on it. It swivels and turns with your, you know, with the movement of the fish. I mean, they're an amazing toy.
I land my fish with a boga grip. That's how I bring the fish up into the boat. But then when I go to get a picture, I take out this little one so my fish look better.
Absolutely.
Well, now, the scale doesn't matter because we're going to lie anyway.
But at least you
get a real good idea with the boga grip.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about several different styles here and reasons why, and we're comparing it to an animal that we don't have in front of us, and some people may not be familiar with why, so it's a good idea to explain what it is.
Well, the only place in the world that makes virgin original new stainless steel is the United States, believe it or not. Every other country, you ever notice you buy stuff now, it's stainless steel and it gets all these rust marks on it and everything? Mm-hmm. The reason being is it's recycled material, and those are the imperfections in the recycled stainless. Boga grips don't stain, they don't go bad because it's virgin, brand new stainless steel, not recycled.
Right.
That's why they're so good. That's why they never go bad. I lost one in the yard, I didn't know where I lost it. I lost it, and all of a sudden, I'm mowing the lawn one day, and it's like 3 years had gone by. I saw the glint of metal in the yard, stopped the mower, went down, picked it up, and went, yep, it works just like the day I bought it. Now, the Rapala, I'm going to go back to this Rapala gripper for a second, because the Rapala gripper in the bigger size, you got to be careful with it. If you latch it down on a fish and you get the tongue and some other stuff, you can actually do a lot of damage to the fish.
Yeah.
Any of the vice grip looking ones are going to be problematic if you're not really careful with them. If you get the tongue of the fish, if you get it just on the membrane inside of the jaw, it's fine. But if you get anything else with it, you can break their jaw. You can do a lot of damage with those if you're not careful.
Absolutely.
All right. So moving on. We've got other things to come about. Out of this stuff, now trout is the number one thing on the thing. Robert's fishing update, his number one is trout. Now, if I'm going to go catch trout, two things I want to have. Number one, I like the DOA Deadly Combo.
Which is pretty amazing.
Now, it has a popping cork on it. You can get it with a traditional concave head, popping cork with a cigar float or an oval float. I prefer the oval floats over them. Which one do you like, Robert?
I like the popping cork style, personally.
All right. Why the popping cork over the oval?
I like the splash that it makes. It just kind of simulates like a snook popping or a trout popping to me more than anything else.
All right. Kale, oval, cigar, or popping cork?
I prefer the popping cork, and for the exact same reasons Robert does.
All right. Now, me, I like the oval one because of the sound I can create with it on the DOA Deadly Combo. The DOA Deadly Combo comes pre-rigged with a shrimp underneath it. It has a float with a metal rod in that's the float slides up and down on a metal rod. The reason I like the DOA is it has a half ounce of lead on it. And you can just, it helps with the cast. And before you can pop it, the bobber has to tip up and become upright in the water again. With some of the other ones, now what's that other one, Robert? The
Cajun Thunder.
Cajun Thunder. Kale, what do you use?
I use both the Cajun Thunder and the Bomber.
All right, the Bomber Poppers. All right. Paradise Popper, right?
Paradise Popper, yeah.
All right. Now, to me, I like these bobbers on the metal rods. I think it's amazing technology. And you keep your rod tip low to the water, give a very hard jerk to it, and it creates a splash, like you said, like a fish feeding.
Correct.
I think you got to find your own sound to it, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah, you'll find the one sound that sounds best to you and is produced for you. Once you catch a couple of fish on it, you'll click and go, okay, that was the noise I was making, and you try to replicate that again.
Now, I like the ones that are pre-rigged with the DOA shrimp on them. DOA shrimp have ground-up shrimp into the plastic, so they have a little more of the taste of a real shrimp than just a straight-out plastic would. Mm-hmm. But and I use the oval one. When you pop it, the metal rod comes up through and the beads on the bottom smack the bottom of the bobber, helping give more of a clack sound to it. And then the bobber itself splashes, but it also jumps the bait underneath. Now, that to me is the most significant because you're getting all that big splash of a fish hitting a bait, but it jerks your bait up, whether it's a live shrimp or a fish or the DOA shrimp on the bottom that it comes pre-rigged with, making it look like it's escaping a predator.
Yeah, it gives it that activity and a much faster erratic movement to simulate being chased by something.
And I think it goes along with the greed aspect. Now, if you drive by a restaurant and you see there's 100 cars in the parking lot of one restaurant and the restaurant right next to it has three cars, which one are you most likely to stop at?
Probably the one that's open.
The one that's open.
Oh, God. You walked into that. That was like walking into the sliding glass door.
He's right, because I'm going to go to the one with three cars, so I'm not waiting in line for 40 minutes.
All right. Why do I even bother here? I mean, I'm sitting here trying to give, this in-depth fishing information and smack, right. I mean, how are you? Oh, I'm fine. Ready to run face first into dandy at any moment. All right.
That Me Too attitude that the fish get. You know, they're semi-schooling fish, so there's usually more around, and they're trying to feed to survive. So you're absolutely correct that having that noise, that fish is trying to escape or your bait is trying to escape. Another one in the vicinity comes over to investigate something's going on and then sees that bait starting to fall back down. He thinks it's trying to get away, and he's going to eat it.
Yeah, so if you want it, I want it, me too.
They school up, they get competitive.
All right, now,
one of the other reasons why that bait is so great, though, that pre-rigged DOA is it gives you a good footprint for something to replicate later on down the road for people who are not familiar with some of these rigs. That's why I picked it, because it's a great blueprint to replicate later on.
And so once you see this done, you can recreate it with live bait or natural baits or other types of lures.
Right.
We had one guy catching redfish by putting a little rattle trap lure under the popping cork.
No kidding.
He said that was his best redfish bait. By taking a popping cork, putting the rattle trap underneath it, again, it's kind of like Carl's theory with the Rockport Rattler underneath the popping cork. Makes noise, gets its own attention to thing. Now, I will say Captain Kale, when I was fishing with him the other day, came up with a great point and a brand new use for these floats that have the metal rods in them, and that's a handle. Explain that.
Well, we're out there in trout country, and it's not just trout that are out there. You know, we were out there seeing just about every bonnethead shark in the harbor was around the boat.
Yeah, we caught, 20, maybe 30 of them in the first hour and a half.
We also had cobia swimming around out there.
That you said. I'm not going to go with that. You said we were going cobia fishing. I never saw a cobia. I'm sorry.
If you would have brought your glasses, you might have been able to see into the
water.
It's
true. All right. Two guys who claim to be professional fishermen going out in the flats to look for cobia, and neither brought their polarized sunglasses.
Right.
This is pros at work here, boys and girls.
Those are two
but
fish.
I remembered my hat.
You did remember the hat.
My hat, yeah.
Those are two fish that I don't like to put in the net. Cobia have a tendency of going right through nets. Bonnet heads, if they get a mouthful of net, they're going to tear that net up too. When you're using the braided line and the thinner leader that we're using and your hands are wet all day, you can get cut very, very easily trying to control that line and control that fish.
Yeah, when you first get that shark up next to the boat, he's pretty wild. He wants to thrash around and pop around. And that's why I thought your solution was brilliant.
Just grab a hold.
Yes, I said that. I probably will never say that again.
I
can't believe those words actually came out of my mouth.
It's not going to get lived down. But grab a hold of that big chunk of styrofoam there on your line. You're not going to get cut. Now you can control that fish enough to get a boga grip or one of the Rapala grips into his mouth to control him.
Actually, with a bonnet head shark, I pretty much always, when I was with Kale that day, we had these popping corks with the metal rods that go through them. We were able to grab that, pick them up, and I could grab the shark behind the head. The only way you want to handle a bonnet shark is get him up and grab him right behind the head. I would do not recommend putting the grippers in their mouth and all that stuff. I recommend holding them behind the head. Control his head. You've controlled that shark, and they're not a very crazy shark. They're pretty much they're fairly docile for something that might be dying at any moment if you decide you want lunch. You know, I don't like the flavor of bonnets. I have customers who just love them, think it's the best tasting shark ever. Me, not so much. I'm not a big bonnet shark guy. I love black tips.
Oh, I love bonnet heads.
You eat bonnets, huh?
Absolutely. They sit out there eating nothing but shrimp and crabs. They spend their whole life marinating themselves for you.
And I guess that's it. But it's like asking somebody, do you like the taste of peanut butter? Peanut butter's good. It's healthy and everything else, but some people like the flavor, some don't. And that's how you go with bonnet sharks. But it was amazing to grab that cork and just be able to hold them up, grab them behind the head, and one and done, we were all good.
I got one more comment with that bobber.
Go ahead.
I think another thing that makes it popular, not just for a stocking stuffer, but for some of our anglers out there, the use of braided line has become so popular nowadays that people that are used to the old school Comel popping corks with the stem in them that you slide out.
Yeah, you got to take the peg out, you put it in.
And they're hard to get to stay stationary and on the line with monofilament, but braid line just cuts right through them. So a lot of guys get frustrated and are wrapping them up and having a whole hard time. These bobbers with these stems on them make it a lot easier.
Well, you got to tie the line to the top, tie the line to the bottom, and tie your leader to the bottom of them and put your hook on.
There's more steps, but it's a little bit more practical long-term-wise.
Yeah, it is better. And that's why I went to the floats with the oval float and the cigar float.
Mm-hmm.
It's two small pegs, one on top, one on the bottom, and it holds the line better.
Yeah.
And to get the weighted one, you don't get the really good sound of a popping cork, But it does keep your bait up, moves the bait across the flats. You can pop it a little bit.
Right.
But by putting a number two split shot underneath that 39-cent bobber, you've got a weighted cork.
Absolutely.
And it works great.
Absolutely.
All right. We did that, probably overdid that. I'm going to go with what I want to give as a Christmas gift. And getting into lures here, and the Rapala X-Wrap, to me, is one of the strongest, toughest, best-running, best-working, fish-catching lures ever invented. Now, I throw a lot of the 8 size. And the thing about the 8s, they come in two different styles. You have the XR8, X-ray, Ray, whatever, 8, number 8. And then you have the SXR8 with the letter S in front of it. Now, the one with the letter S in front of it has two plain treble hooks on it. The one with the XR has the feather teaser on the back treble hook. It's got a little bit of bright mylar, a feather on it. I like that one a lot better. Now, are you guys with the teaser or without the teaser?
I'm torn on it, to be honest with you. I use both, and I haven't noticed much of a difference for me.
All right. I guess I just more have confidence. I like that feather kind of trailing off the back, wiggling a little bit. You know, even when I was young, I kind of liked it to wiggle a little bit. You know, I don't know.
Oh, I'm there with that.
Okay.
I don't like the feather.
You don't like the feather?
I don't like the feather. I haven't seen it benefit in any way, shape, or form, at least on my end. So I stick with the normal one.
All right, so you're a SXR guy. Yep. Robert can go either way, and I'm strongly with the feather. I don't care.
That seems
tickle
normal
me
for
with
today's
a feather.
World.
I just like it.
That seems normal for today's world.
Yeah, I like the feather. I think it enhances the bite. I think it works really well, adds a little more action to the lure, and I've done really well with them. The nice thing I like about the Rapala, even if you use a small one and you get a big fish on, they hold together. The X-Rep series is so tough and so strong. It's just amazing for its strength and fish-catching ability.
Well, and the other thing that's great about it, too, is that it's a suspending-style bait. As you retrieve it, it goes deeper. But because it's a suspender, when you pause, it doesn't want to pop right back to the surface the way a floating lure does. So,
or sink down deeper and get into grass.
Which is
okay,
great.
Okay, help me out, RJ. Who is the old guy, you know, who did his elbows up in the air and wore the suspenders years ago?
Chester.
No, there was the other guy, the old guy. Chester was on, you know, Mr. Dillon.
Yeah, that's awesome.
But it was the other guy. I can't remember. He used to make a noise and he walked with his arms up.
I called him Mark.
Oh, yeah, Mark and Mindy, right?
Or your father.
You can tell there's a generational difference here. Tomorrow, I turn 60 years old, boys and girls. Yes, me and the famous Chevy, both in 1957. Yeah, my first car was a 1940 Master 85 Chevrolet two-door hardtop. Yes, I am old. Okay, so... It was a great car. Loved it. I looked one up on the internet. $500 a guy had one for up north. Think about going up and buying it.
That was probably just the door.
No, it was pretty beat.
That's
probably all you could use was the door. The only thing that was worth
Yeah, the door works.
All right. Let's go. Speaking of lures, you got to do a spoon. Now, spoons come with treble hooks or single hook. Robert, single hook or treble hook guy?
Single hook.
Single hook. Kale, single hook or treble hook?
It depends on the depth I'm fishing.
Okay, we're right back to the Rapala. One on the end, the other one in the middle. I use the treble hook ones. So, let's see. Robert, okay, as far as crickets here. Okay, you've got this silver minnow. That's the Johnson silver minnow with the single hook. Why single hook instead of treble hook?
Because it's more versatile. It being basically a kind of a weedless lure, I can cast it and drag it or lightly hop it off of just about any type of bottom. I can do a moderate retrieve or a fast retrieve. But also, if I want to change the profile or how it swims, I can add a little curl tail or a shad tail soft plastic to the back of it and enhance it that way.
Gotcha.
It's just a lot more versatile for me. And honestly, I've had a couple treble hooks stuck in my hand, so I'm a little apprehensive of multiple hook gadgets.
I'm the one that took you to Dr. Dave's place. I remember
exactly.
that. Exactly. That was a big treble hook, too. You didn't do a little one.
You got to do it right, I guess.
You did it right. That was a huge treble hook. There was no way that was coming out without Dr. Dave. All right. That's the walk-in medical pavilion. They still have really good doctors that are actually doctors. They help people. They don't send you to the ER. Kale, you're an either-or guy.
Yeah.
So what's your safe word? Why one?
It depends on the depth that I'm fishing. If I'm fishing inside the grass flats, I like that single weedless hook. If I'm in deeper water fishing for different fish, then I prefer one with a treble hook that I can let sink down a little bit more weight to it. And it's easier to pick up those fast, speedy fish like our jacks and our Spanish mackerel with that treble hook. You can run the treble hook ones shallow. All it is a piece of metal with a hole at either end. One end to tie your line, one end the hook is on.
Okay.
Take the hook to the top.
I'm going to disagree with your arguments. I'm calling fish fowl, bark, 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 chicken man. He's everywhere. Okay. If I'm looking for deeper or shallower, I actually change brands. We brought the Johnson Sprites with us because it is the iconic spoon. Johnson Sprite, and what's the one up north? Daredevil. The Daredevil Red and White and the Johnson Sprite are the two iconic lure or spoon things. But now, if I'm going to go deep water, I change the brand because the Johnson Sprite is wider across the body, so you can reel it in slower in shallower water and still get it to flutter. Now, a spoon like a Gator Spoon, which is for the same weight, is much thinner in profile, at the same speed will sink way faster. A Sprite will always want to come towards the top as you reel it in. As you get faster, it gives a lot of lift. The Johnson Minnow, narrow in the front, wide in the back. Great on the flats, good in deep water. But I think the Johnsons are both really good in the shallower water. But Gator Spoons, some of the crocodiles, they're narrower. I like those better out in open water. I do the Johnsons pretty much only in the backcountry because they swim so much better at slower speeds. Now, is there anything else? Now, you like the single hook because you're afraid of treble hooks and you want to add a soft plastic or something to the back of it as
right.
a teaser or a trailer, Robert.
Right.
Kayler, you don't really have an opinion, so, okay. Any last words about spoons before?
Ball bearing swivel.
Good shot. Yeah. Why ball bearing swivel?
Because a lot of people retrieve them too fast and get them to spin rather than just a nice wobble. So they're trolling them and they'll get a little bit carried away with it. And they will cause a great deal of line twist. So a spoon with a ball bearing swivel on it, you won't have your line fouling up. In some instances, that can even make that spoon work a little bit easier for you.
All right, now here's one question. By the way, we're on the big WKDW Radio, 97.5 FM, Real Community Radio. This is an awesome place, boys and girls. Come up to their common grounds. I don't know why I say common greens. I think it's Soylent Green. I'm thinking that...
You know, well, they're both about people.
Yeah, it's all about people. That's true. Wednesday nights, they got that. It's an amazing open mic night, and it's a BYOB. But right here in Northport, Florida, 97.5 FM, KDWRadio.com. If you like the show, go on, donate a nickel, a dime, a quarter. Robert's got to be worth a quarter. Kale, I'm not sure. Me, I know I got to be worth more than a penny. So at least give a dime for me, all right? Getting back to Christmas gifts and stuff. Every single thing we're talking about here today can be used in freshwater or saltwater. These are saltwater and freshwater friendly things. We've only got one item coming up that is pretty much only saltwater. Everything else kind of goes freshwater and saltwater. Speaking of which, bait. This, Robert, you picked out a very cool aerator, and it's $4.99. Why did you pick that one? Isn't it too cheap? Wouldn't it be junk?
No. Batteries and electricity are never a good combination anyway. So... this aerator is just small, it's compact, so you can put it on a tiny bait bucket or or a 5-gallon bucket. It's got a perfectly good motor in it that'll run both.
Yeah, I was just teasing about the junk. I've got two of those on my shrimp bucket.
Yeah.
And they work amazing.
No, they're absolutely, really, when they first came out, I wasn't sure how long they were going to last.
Yep.
Because of the way that they close up, it was normal, but it just seems so compact with everything in there. I didn't know if it was going to produce enough air, and I didn't know how well it was going to last against moisture. And it's been doing every bit as good, if not better, than some of the other aerators.
Literally the biggest mistake Marine Metals ever made. They got $8 ones, $16 ones, $25 ones. The $5 one works as good as any of them.
Absolutely.
And it's $5. Whether you're trying to keep minnows or shiners alive or shrimp or pinfish, this Baby Bubbles, it's called, awesome thing, can be good almost anywhere nowadays. I think average price around $5, but you could figure a little less than $5 to $6 or $7, depending upon where you buy them, but well worth the money.
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome, runs on 2 AA batteries. Kale, any bad news about the Baby Bubbles?
I haven't been able to find anything bad about it. You get about 20 hours or so of life out of the two batteries, or even one battery in it.
Yeah. If you come down by us, the aerator and the two AA batteries is $6.29 for all of it. That's less than you normally pay for a regular aerator. Does an amazing job. One thing that we should go into here, I like tackle containers. And I've got one here that I really like. It's the Flambeau Waterproof Ultra Tuftainer, I guess they call it. But it's got three locking things on the opposite side of the hinge and both ends. It has a rubber seal in it. Now, the reason I like these over the other ones, some of the other brands, is you can get it without the little plastic inserts that tell you how big something can be. It's just open all the way through. So I can put my cell phone in there. I put my extra pack of smokes in there, close it up. It's waterproof. I can put tackle in there and it doesn't rot out or rust. Now, to me, that's an awesome thing. It's from Flambeau. They usually run $10 or less for the smaller ones. They kind of go up and down in price depending on how big you want. Any argument on the Tuftainers from Flambeau?
No, but that little blue thing in there, that's something that's pretty unique to Flambeau with most of their tackle boxes.
All right, little blue thing, it's the little divider pieces in here. This doesn't have a divider. Why does it have dividers in it?
That's not a divider piece. That actually is that's chemically infused to help reduce rust on any of your items inside the box.
Like the stuff you put in your gun safe.
Exactly, exactly.
To help keep the rust down.
You know, they've started manufacturing their trays with the dividers are actually infused. If it's got that blue strip in it or the dividers are blue, it's got that chemical in it to prevent rusting of any of your product.
So it's better than I thought it was.
Absolutely.
All right.
The one thing that I like about these is the hinge is plastic. Now, normally you would think that it's garbage, but if you buy some of the other brands, they have a stainless steel pin through the hinges that is garbage stainless steel.
Yeah, it's that Pakistani right. Stainless where if you throw it in the desert, it doesn't rust.
Right. If it gets wet, that stainless steel rusts, it expands and blows out the hinges. You're putting this in a saltwater environment on a boat. With the plastic hinges on this, you'll never have that problem.
Well,
what if they're fishing on up here?
One, same two, thing. Three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine. It has nine hinge point connections, so that's way better than the three on most of them. So I'm going to give Flambeau a good deal on that one. I like that. Let's go into something that's a little more of a gift here. This is a thing of Gulp Alive. Now, I picked the Alive container rather than just a bag of Gulp. It's $20. And the neat part about it is you can put all the different colors together in one container.
Yes. Yeah, and they won't bleed out like a lot of other soft plastics when they start touching each other. The Gulp product will stay its own colors.
Yep.
And now I think Gulp is amazing because you can use it as a lure. You can use it as a dead bait. They have freshwater, saltwater stuff. I don't really like the freshwater stuff from Gulp, boys and girls. I think you're wasting your money. You could do better with something else. But in saltwater, I think it's amazing. The shrimp container that I have here has New Penny, natural, white, root beer, all of them mixed into the same container. You get all of them, and it's an assortment one. These are the 3-inch. Now, are you a 3-inch shrimp guy or 4-inch shrimp guy, Robert?
I'm a 3-inch.
All right. A Kale, 3 or 4?
3-inch.
3-inch. All right. I think for the reason you guys might be that way, because with the 3-inch, you got a broader base of possible fish.
A whole lot broader,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
All right. What? I don't know of anything that doesn't eat a shrimp, so you could do trout or snapper or whatever with the 3-inch, but if you get up to the 4-inch, you're kind of limiting yourself.
Sure. Why do we offer 5 different sizes of shrimp at our bait shop?
Because not everybody wants to pay for the big ones.
And not everybody wants to fish with the big ones.
Gotcha.
You're not going to throw that big jumbo shrimp at a little pompano with a tiny little mouth.
Well, that's true. So these work. Any good points? I like Gulp because I believe there's 2 guys working for Berkeley when they design this stuff. Now, one guy designs it so that the fish like the smell, and then the other guy designs it so that people will buy it because when they open it up, they can smell the smell.
Right, and that's, you know, one of those one of those funny things about any of your scented products, but especially Gulp. That smell in there is for you. The smell that the fish actually smells an enzyme that we can't detect.
Right, it's beyond our range of detection with our olfactory or the smelling stuff. Yeah, the smelling part.
And that that assortment pack is probably one of the best ones around because, I mean, it's got literally the top best colors that apply to our area from, say, Tampa all the way down to Naples.
And when you go to buy a bag of Gulp, look in the bag. You'll see that liquid in there, the juice. Just dump that into your Gulp Alive container, and it adds to the juice. And after you use a Gulp all day, pat it dry. I usually pat it dry like on my shirt. Take the hook out and put it back into the container. It will refresh and become new again. But it's the liquid was not in that bag when they put it in there. Just put the lures in. That is what has drained out of the lures in that bag. So that's one of the big things about Gulp, knowing that you can just make them good again, pat them dry, throw them back in the box or in the bucket. All right. You guys, what do you want to pick? Robert, you pick first off of what's left here on the table.
A great little gadget that is incredible are these braid cutters that we carry.
Yeah,
you know, it's from the Boomerang.
Boomerang snipping tool, snippet tool.
I mean, you cut your monofilament, your fluorocarbon, and your braided line with it. And they're just absolutely one of those must-have kind of little toys, you know. Scissors are great, but these things, they got a carabiner with a retractable line on them, so you can put them right on a belt loop or on your shirt pocket. And the blade's closed, so it's relatively safe. And they're just easy access.
Don't run with scissors, boys and girls.
Right.
Okay.
But, I mean, we use those on our line machines at the shop, and they last for 3 to 6 months before they start to go dull.
Which is a lot of cutting.
That's a whole lot of cutting.
Because we go through thousands of yard a line a day. Kale, good or bad choice, the snippet?
I think it's an excellent choice.
Okay. I guess, all right, let's see. We're down to our last 10 minutes or so here. Robert, you and I both pick pliers.
Right.
Now, you pick the one, and yours is more of a metal. It's a little less expensive than the one I picked. Why did you pick that one over the straight-out aluminum one here?
To be honest with you, I mean, I mainly just grabbed a pair of pliers, but I'll still take the heavier-duty one over the aluminum one. I've tried getting the hook out of, like, some of your fish get that hook buried right in the funny part of their mouth. And I've tweaked them just a little bit, but most importantly, I don't use my pliers for just taking the hooks out of fish's mouth. I do it for stupid stuff like, okay, I need to adjust my handle, or, hey, in your guys' case with boats, you go, okay, the cables on my battery are a little
loose. So you actually use them as a pliers, yeah. Not just a hook remover.
Correct. And I think the metal ones just have a little bit stronger jaws for doing silly stuff.
Now, both of your pliers have side cutters on them.
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't either one of you pick ones that have the inline cutters?
I don't like the inline cutter. A, I have put on my bifocals to see where to cut the line. With the ones on the side, I can see right where to cut the line. And they're replaceable if I want to. From $9 to $14, you can get replacement jaws for them. Why is there a difference?
I don't see a difference. I'm with you. I prefer the side cutters.
Okay.
You know how many fish I've accidentally cut off because of those inline pliers? You get in too deep, you go to close it, and you cut the fish off. With the side cutters, so you can't do that.
You don't like the in the where the jaws...
Yes, I don't like them because sometimes I'm an idiot.
Okay, so the ones where the jaws come down and then have the cutter at the base of the jaws...
Right.
Kale cuts his fish off the line, and they go swimming away free, and he doesn't get a picture or a meal out of it. Robert likes the heavier metal ones. It's a weight issue and strength of jaw. I do like the metal ones. All the, you know, the ones we're talking about sell for around $30. When you're buying aluminum, make sure they have the reinforced jaws. Make sure it is not the same material from the handles all the way through to the point of the pliers. If they're aluminum and they don't have the reinforced ends where the jaws are actually at, they're junk. As soon as you squeeze on something, they're going to open up, they're going to bend, they're going to twist. They have to have, it's a kind of a triangle looking end on them, but you can see it's made out of a different material. They all come with everything. I don't use my pliers for cutting line and leader and stuff. Every once in a while, I rely on a snippet or a pair of scissors because I can replace those for less than the money of the replacement jaws, replacement cutter jaws on the pliers. Pliers I use as pliers, you know.
Well, the heavier duty ones I think are great pliers for your offshore guys. They've got the crimps, the crimpers built into the jaws. We don't do a whole lot of crimping inshore, so you can get away with your lighter aluminum ones.
Yeah, I just pliers are kind of a must-have. You want them in a sheath, although I will tell you, it's been recommended to me that you don't use the sheath. Clip the end of the springy cable to your belt loop and put the pliers in your back pocket. That way you don't have to deal with the pouch and everything. And then at the end of the day, you put them back in the pouch, put them in your tackle box. But during the day when you're trying to use them and everything's going on, having that side pouch on it gets in the way. Clip the end of the lanyard to your belt loop, leave the other on the pliers, and just put the pliers in your back pocket. Seems to work better for me. It's been a great recommendation. Robert, one of the best lures we got around is that little cheap one that you picked.
Yeah, the Storm Wild Eyes swim bait. It's three lures for under $4.
Well, it's actually, yeah, $3.50 for three lures, about $1.15 a piece.
They've got the hook. Everything is molded right into the body, and they work.
Catch a lot of fish.
I catch a lot of different fish with them. I mean, you might go out intending to target snook with them and catch trout, pompano, flounder.
Tarpon.
I mean, tarpon, absolutely. I mean, there's a
now,
lot of different things.
The bigger size, this is a 3-inch, probably the best, most versatile size. Mm-hmm. But the 4, 5, and 6-inch, they're great on cobia, tarpon, snook, what you name it. You can walk them around the pier and catch fish with them. And
I got guys
they're
that'll vertical fish with them offshore and catch grouper on them.
Yeah, they work on virtually any fish, freshwater, saltwater, and they're just awesome that way. So you're talking about the Storm Swim, the Wild Eye Swim Shads, which are phenomenal, very, very cheap. The number one fish-catching lure we've ever had at the store is the Storm Twitch Stick. The Storm Twitch Stick in the, I don't know, my glasses on, 614 color, we call it the Ghost, has caught more fish than any other lure I've ever seen.
Absolutely. It's an amazing lure.
Weird thing is you get these...
And that works in freshwater, saltwater.
You get these...
It is a freshwater lure. It just happens to go gonzo great in saltwater.
You get these lures that are hot for a year, and then they kind of die off when something new comes out. These things have been catching fish great for the past 3 years.
Oh, longer than that. In 2015, we outsold the country of Canada on Storm Twitch Sticks. Best Christmas gift ever is a Fish and Frank's gift certificate. You can go buy them online and we'll mail it to you. Stop in the store and get them. Anything from $5 on up. They can be any amount between $5 and $500. Fish and Frank's gift certificate's the best bet because WKDW radio listeners at 97.5 FM are truly refined. The best people on the planet. All right, we've got kind of winding up. a catfish gripper, auto fish grabber, H&H. It is the number one gotta have. I do not like going out in a boat. Since 1986, every time I'm on the water, I have that H&H auto fish grabber with me. Works on catfish. You can grab them right by the belly, hold them, safely take the hook out, and release them. Because I'll tell you, catfish are fun. Think about it. You're out there. You've got a fish on the line. Is it a redfish? Is it, what is that? Oh, man, it's really fighting. And then all of a sudden, the line goes bop, 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 bouncing. And you go, oh, catfish. And all of a sudden, you get all deflated. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was great until that delusion of grandeur wore off.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden. But if you have one of these fish grabbers, you can safely grab the fish, pop the hook out, throw them in the water. It makes catfish fun. I like that aspect of it. That auto fish grabber is just amazing. I think they're a phenomenal tool. One thing, Robert, you got one more thing to add there, right?
Something when you don't want to have the, or if you don't have your fish gripper, you can just grab them with a good pair of gloves. But your catfish, you cannot.
Catfish spine will go right through a glove.
It'll go right through any glove except for maybe a welder's glove. But just having a good fish handling glove, something that's got some silicone and some rubber on it, make sure you get it wet before you handle the fish.
Key to making the fish live is keep your gloves, keep your hands wet. Wet hands, wet gloves do not remove the slime from a fish. Now, I'm fishing Frank. Robert's in the chair across from me. This is Captain Kale. This is Fishing Frank's radio show. And good gosh, guys, it's Christmas time. There's a ton of gifts to be had. You can go to your local tackle shop, go to a chain store. Hopefully we gave you some ideas of what's good and what's bad. But remember your hook sizes, 1 1/0, right dead in the middle. If you're doing worm hooks, a 3/0 kind of in the middle. There's just so much stuff you can do. Captain Kale does charters on his boat. Look him up at realbadfish.com. Robert and I are just Fishing Frank's employees, so you can come see us at the bait shop anytime you want. Merry Christmas, you guys. It
Merry
is
Christmas.
Right now it's Hanukkah. Happy Hanukkah, my friends. And Merry Christmas. Say Merry Christmas, Kale.
Merry Christmas, Kale.
Say Merry Christmas, Robert.
Merry Christmas, Robert. Take care. Fishingfranks.com.
Yep. Come visit us on fishingfranks.com. No G in fishing. F-I-S-H-I-N, franks.com. Thank you, boys and girls. Thank you, RJ. Thanks for doing the show with us.
Okay, we're off.